for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. This is episode 601. Let's roll it back and do another 100, y'all, of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next hour or so, me, Sharice Lamb, Zemith, Oscar Navas, Medin G, mods like Jesse Johnson, Casually Joseph, and Kimberly from the couch, Zombie Guy Justin up in here, Zombie Guy, it's been a minute. Good to see you, Marcus Kyler of the Yeet Crew. Kenyanizo Zitalpa. Mr. Green Reads and Space Tacos, first in chat. Carrie's always here in the great state of Texas, guys. Folks over on LinkedIn like Logan Fuller and Raymond Cruz. So many of you regular all up in here. James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Raniel Isaac saying what's up in chat. Let's go. We're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction down for your business stakeholders? At the end of the day, that's why they're paying us, to drive cyber risk down. I know we might dress dapper and have a quick dad joke on the rip, but really the reason that the paychecks come in every week is because we drive cyber risk reduction. So that's what we're doing here. And if you're looking to break into the industry, what's up, Tom Bishop? Good to see you. James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet with a super chat.
We just become best friends.
Yep. Kudos on hitting 600. Way to go. Awesome community. 100% agree with you, James McQuiggan. Hashtag Team SC in chat. Great to see you. Can't wait for the conference circuit to start up again, James, and get high fives going around the horn appropriately. If you're looking to break into the industry, believe me, you're going to get value from this stream, because you will get exposed to terminology, concepts, and the networking. All the people over there, hashtag Team SC, you're a member of it too. You're going to get unbelievable value from the networking, sharing resources, talking about the real deal of certain things. It's awesome. Get in here. If today is your first episode, welcome to the party, pal. Drop a hashtag first timer in chat and let us know it's your first time on stream. We've got a special sound effect. We've got a special emote. And the judges regularly also accept people who are saying hashtag first timer in chat, right? So like maybe you're here all the time, but you're a passive observer. You're kind of lurking in the shadows and you want to step into the light. Hashtag first timer. We're opening the floodgates today for everybody. Let's get those emotes dropping, y'all. All right. Now, before I get into it, I do want to say shout out and love to the stream sponsors. Those businesses that I work with, that I affiliate with, that I absolutely really, really enjoy and am so grateful that they allow me to get up here at 8 a.m. Eastern every single weekday and just flip out with a big cup of coffee. Like, it's the absolute best. Thank you so much, sponsors, starting with my good friend Eric Taylor, Casually Joseph, and the whole team over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Listen, Barricade Cyber Solutions is absolutely dedicated to helping businesses recover from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues. What are we doing? James McQuiggan with 10 gifted subs.
We just become best friends. Yep.
Well, I would like to welcome Brian Mulder, Brian White, Yaking Vet, Rogue 202, Michelle Dane, Soulshine. So many new squad members. Compliments of James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. James McQuiggan, thank you so much. Coffee cup cheers. And to you new minted squad members, welcome to the party, pal. All right, guys, Barricade Cyber Solutions, not only are they dedicated to helping businesses recover from cyber attacks, those cyber attacks will cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil if not addressed, mitigated, resolved, eradicated whatever you want to say it. The deal is Barricade Cyber comes in like digital firefighters and puts out the fire. They yeet threat actors out the environment. They tell threat actors to catch them outside. How about that?
Catch me outside. How about that?
I absolutely love it. Go to BarricadeCyber.com. Links in the description below. If you are actively under a compromise, I don't know why. I don't know why you're hanging out. It's like the dog in the "This is fine" with the room on fire. If you're actively compromised right now, go to BarricadeCyber.com and make an emergency phone a friend. All right. Also want to say shout out and love to the new stream sponsor, Delete Me. Like, giddy up on this, guys. You're going to love this. Listen, let me put my lower third up so we can all do this together. All right, guys, as a person myself, right, that exists publicly, I'm on YouTube all the time screaming into this microphone. Since I share my opinions and hot takes daily, some people don't agree with them. And I'm hyper aware of safety and security. I have a young family. I love doing my job, but my family is the priority, and I want to make sure that they are safe. And it's very easy to find personal information about people online. All this data hanging out on the internet can have real life consequences in the real world. I said it yesterday on stream. Somebody in Discord tried to threaten me with swatting, which is absolutely not cool. I recently found a solution, and the service is called Delete Me. It's awesome. Delete Me is a subscription-based service. Let me go ahead and put me on stream for a second. And let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of this. All right. Yes, sir. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams, right? So when there's a compromise, a data breach, you're not in it. That's awesome. And when you sign up, you basically tell Delete Me what data you want deleted, and they go off and take care of it. It's very hands-off. It's like outsourcing the removal of your information from the internet. I literally went whole hog and put in my full name, my full address, previous addresses, all the stuff that about me, and they went off and did it. It was absolutely epic. You do get a personalized privacy report. I believe it's monthly, showing what information they found, where they found it, and what was removed or in the process of being removed. I'm going to little demo. Here's mine right here. This is the report itself, guys, right? You could see, like, this is my own personal information, right? 2,800 listings found, 200 removed, 722 pieces of PII removed. You can see all the databases they pulled it from. It's a great service, okay? The cool thing is Delete Me does all the hard work, which is true. It's basically outsourcing your online privacy. So guys, here's the deal. Take control of your data and keep your private life private. Let me get this. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at the special discount for Simply Cyber listeners. Today, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you join, when you go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and use promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter code SimplyCyber at checkout. It's on stream there. You can see it in the lower third. joindeleteme.com/simplycyber. All right. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much for Delete Me for not only sponsoring the show, but also removing my information from the internet. I certainly appreciate that. Who doesn't like a little safety? Certainly I don't. Certainly I do, excuse me. Also Anti-Siphon, but more about them at the mid-roll. We got all sorts of... So Brian Bates, a good question of whether Delete Me secures your information. I can certainly ask them about that. It's a good question. Haircut Fish, congrats on 600. I love it. Meme of the week coming soon. Today is Tuesday, so expect a Tidbits Tuesday where I share a little bit about myself. And you can get into that. All right, guys. Hey, really quick. Each episode's worth half a CPE, so do a quick... Wilbert Philip, I do not believe Delete Me looks on the dark web. I believe it looks at data brokers mostly and online data collection repos. Guys... each episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is worth half a CPE. So Hades, first timer in chat.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Welcome to the party, pal, Hades. Everybody, just go ahead and drop a comment, hashtag Team SC in chat. And basically watch, hashtag Team SC. Simple as that. Grab a screenshot and then file it away. And every single day you get a half a CPE. And basically at the end of the year, you count up how many screenshots you have, divide it by two. And that's how many CPEs you got. It's simple. It's easy. It's wicked nice. Thanks, Josh Mason, with the bot command. Probably saves me a lot of trouble. All right, guys, we got work to do. It's a busy day. I've got go teach at the Citadel after this, and we've got I've got to drive to Greenville, confirmed Greenville, which is a 4-hour drive to give a talk tomorrow morning, keynoting a conference. Whoop whoop! All right, guys, sit back, relax, and let's let the hot takes come over us in a cool, icy. Hold on. Let's let the cool waves of the hot news wash over us in an awesome wave. All right, everybody, it's been fun. Let's go.
From the CISO series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
Whoa, hold on. I'm intervening here. I see Space Taco saying that B-Dubs got a new job. Wait a minute. Where? Hold on. B-Dubs, I'm scanning. I get to miss all. See, here's the thing. I'm part of the community, but I always miss the stuff. Okay, so B-Dubs, 6 months. Good morning. Back on Hashtag Team Live with my first cyber job. I came in like a rainbow. Yes, sir. We stop and celebrate wins like that. Crushing it, B-Dubs. Way to go. Super pumped for you.
Cybersecurity headlines for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I'm Rich Straffolino. Meta to close Threads in Turkey. Last month, the Turkish Competition Authority found that Meta abused its market position by not providing an opt-in for combining newly created Threads profiles with Instagram accounts. In response to an interim injunction based on that finding, the social network giant said it will temporarily shut down its thread service in Turkey as of April 29th. Ahead of the shutdown date, Meta will notify Turkish Threads users and give them the option to either delete or deactivate their accounts. The latter will allow them to bring back an account if the service becomes available in the future.
All right. So, you know, it's funny. I don't research or prep for any of these shows. And I do want to say, someone in chat was like, do we actually do the news? Yes, we absolutely do the news. I just had a bunch of stuff and celebrating wins and stuff. All right, so Meta to close in Threads. So when I saw this title, I actually just thought, okay, like Threads is failing. Threads kind of came out of the gate wicked hot. And then I feel like it hasn't gotten the attention. It's like a vestigial, you know, appendage that's just not getting the love from Meta. But apparently this is more along the lines of basically not being able to comply with federal regulations in the country of Turkey. Here is the deal. This isn't really a cyber story per se, so that's unfortunate. I hate when CISO series doesn't pick cyber stories. But here is the little lesson learned, or the TLDR for you on this one. Basically, if a company if a company makes less money than it costs to have the service somewhere, they're going to stop doing it, right? It's a straight up business decision. In this case, to comply with whatever this data sharing law is that Turkey has, it would cost Meta more money than they're making from having Threads in Turkey. Like, period, full stop. That's all this means. If you ever see a company pull out of a region or a space or whatever, it's because they're losing money. That's all it is at the end of the day. Now here's an interesting thing from a cyber perspective, I suppose. Meta said that they're basically going to freeze everyone's accounts, and if Turkey ever changes the rules or they figure out some way to monetize it better, you'll be able to reactivate your account just like it was. So from a data security protection perspective, you're not going to be able to wipe your data. I don't know. Maybe if you want, you could delete your Threads account. Remember, a tricky thing that Meta did when Threads launched was binding it. You could bind it to your Instagram account, and they basically made it really easy and almost suggestive to do that binding. And you're not able to delete your Threads account without deleting your Instagram account, which, you know, people have spent years curating an Instagram account. And they don't want to deal with that. That was a tricky move. So you might not even be able to delete this data. It's too bad. I feel like, honestly, it's just a social editorial. When Elon took over Twitter and it kind of like imploded, Meta had an opportunity there. It was a short window to make Threads like the new killer app, and they totally swung and missed on it, which sucks. I thought it was cool, but, you know, that's it. Again, not really a cyber story, but, you know, maybe a data governance story. Motaz Bella says, by the way, I got my first job as a GRC security consultant back in January, thanks to the videos you posted about how to prepare for an interview. I came in like Solid, Motaz Bella. Absolutely. Guys, hey, if you're going for a job interview, I've got a video for that. If you're like almost doing anything in cyber, I've got a video for it. But definitely take advantage of all the free content on the Simply Cyber YouTube channel, please. I want everybody and everybody to get into cyber. Cyber has given me such a wonderful life, and I want everybody the opportunity to experience it.
Palo Alto fixes backdoor zero day. Late last week, Palo Alto Networks warned that threat actors began exploiting a maximum severity zero day impacting its PAN-OS firewalls with attacks seen since March 26th. The flaw allows for a low-complexity command injection to gain root access without any user interaction, or as it's known in the industry, BAD. The security firm Volexity tied the attacks to a suspected state-sponsored threat group it calls UTA-0218. Now, the company released a hotfix for the most vulnerable OS versions, with a full rollout expected in the coming days. Users can also disable device telemetry features as a mitigation.
All right. PA Network fixes that zero day. Okay, so we covered this last week. I think they had like mitigating controls, and now they fully fixed it, which basically just means,
you gotta patch it.
Right? That's it. So DJ BSEC, does the PA's auto patch, or do you need to, I would assume you have to intervene manually to patch these things, but basically PA pushed these patches out Sunday night, and it was updated with the specific versions. Again, I want to tell you, Palo Alto, in my opinion, okay, they're not a sponsor or anything like that. Palo Alto is a great company, a great product. And it's just, they make all sorts of products, but as far as I know, they're most known for their like hardware firewalls that you can put at the edge or the perimeter of your internal network looking out into the internet. And they give great level of control. You can have multiple firewalls and you have like a single pane of glass called, I think it's called Panorama. But it's just a great product, okay? It is, I would also argue it is a like, expensive product, but it's tier one, right? So like, you know, you could run Sonic Wall, or you could run a FortiGate, or you could run a Zixel or whatever, but PAs, that they're legit. They're legit. Okay, so if you are running PAs in your environment, you absolutely have all the tools at your disposal now to correct this. It is Tuesday, April 16th. Palo Alto pushed out the updates on Sunday, April 14th. So you have had 2 days to get this sorted out. If you work at a business that is running PAs in your network, or you're an MSP, and maybe some of your clients have PAs, or you're managing PAs, this absolutely needs to be addressed quickly. Okay, so here's why. The PAs are internet facing. Threat actors know about it. I don't think there's a POC out, but some people are definitely backdooring the firewalls. So, you know, you have the tools at your disposal to fix it. It's absolutely, typically, InfoSec people aren't the ones going to be touching this unless you're like a DJ BSEC type person who manages the firewalls as well as InfoSec, but just get with your IT counterparts, get with the right people, send this to them. And say, hey, did we fix this? Or is this in scope or whatever? This is not something to wait till like the weekly meeting on Thursday to talk about. This is a priority, okay? I myself have forwarded this to businesses that I've worked at that have PAs. They were already on top of it, which is really, really cool. And I just want to, like, this is like a quick little the more you know to share. I just want to point out, this is why we do the news every day. This is why this information is important, but you have to take action on it. Case in point, when Microsoft, basically when Vault 7 got leaked and the Eternal Blue exploit got dropped, it got dropped in like, I want to say January. Microsoft immediately responded with a patch very quickly, right? And it was in March that North Korea weaponized Eternal Blue to push WannaCry ransomware out basically across the globe. And they hit so many people. I mean, it was like mainstream news for a minute. Like everybody saw the WannaCry pop-up paywall thing. And people businesses have had 2 months to apply that patch. So don't think that just when a patch comes out, oh, everybody's going to patch it. Everybody knows. No, that's part of the work. That's why vulnerability management is an actual job. You have the tools, you have to follow up with the humans, and you have to make sure that this gets done. If they say, hey, listen, we need to do it during a patch window, fine. When's the patch window? It's Sunday at 2 a.m. Okay, fine. Can you send me an email on Monday saying that you did confirm do this and like CC management and all that? You have to do that or else this possibly goes down the road. And then you're dealing with a compromise, which you're not going to be happy about.
Details on Microsoft security overhaul. After the U.S. Cyber Safety Review Board issued a report critical of Microsoft security policies, the company committed to a large-scale security overhaul, pledging to speed remediation of cloud vulnerabilities, harden credentials, and mandate MFA for employees. Microsoft Security Chief Charlie Bell said the company is ground zero for state-sponsored attackers due to its dominance in productivity and desktop OS markets. Bloomberg's Andrew Martin and Dina Bass note Microsoft faced similar security criticism in the early 2000s, which saw the company halt Windows development for 6 months to focus on a more security-minded culture. Given the constant drumbeat of Windows updates and its race to dominate the emerging LLM market, a similar pause seems highly unlikely.
Yeah. All right, so this is a true story. Okay, a couple things. One, we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine here. Gather around, kids. You know, gather around the fire. The olds have a story for you. So basically, and if you read Nicole Pelroth's book, this is how they tell me the world ends. You would see this too. But a million years ago, when I was coming up, and I know BSEC right now is probably like stroking his chin. Anyone that's been around for, I don't know, let's say 25 years. If you're a Gen Xer, like, you know, Microsoft. Hey, Augustin Garcia, thanks for the squad membership.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
And Nelson Rivera getting that squad sponsorship. I love it. Hey, so a million years ago, Microsoft, like there's a reason Microsoft took off and basically exploded, right? They came on the scene like the 80s, and then like as computers becoming more mainstream and more accessible, more affordable, more businesses started using them, right? And like the internet started coming out, Microsoft had a market advantage, and they did not prioritize security. They actually had a motto. It was like an inside joke that ship on Monday, patch on Wednesday. They knowingly were pushing stuff to market as soon as possible, thinking, hey, you know what? Once it gets in the user's hands, mistakes will be found, issues will come up, and we'll fix it afterwards. It's just part of our normal business operating procedure. Microsoft prioritized features over security. At one point, it was ridiculous. Like you'd open like Microsoft Excel, and there'd be like 300 buttons at the top. It was ridiculous, okay? Same with Word and all that, right? And because of that, macro viruses got written. Way back in the day, Outlook got exploited to the gills, right? Look up the Melissa virus. Look up the I love you bug. Look up Code Red, which actually might be IIS web servers, but I digress. Anyways, my point is Microsoft at some point in like the early 90s, right? Late 90s, Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft at the time, sent out a memorandum. It's become quite well known as like the trustworthy computing memorandum. And he basically said, effective immediately, Microsoft is now prioritizing security over features. We got to do better, everyone. And you've seen it. Microsoft, they've gotten crazy. Like they got Microsoft Defender, Microsoft Sentinel, Patch Tuesday has turned into a thing. Like Microsoft has gotten significantly better with security over the years. And now They've slid backwards, okay? They've had a little bit of a relapse, you know? They got out, now they're scratching their neck like Chappelle, and they're getting hit, right? But again, it's not really fair because nation-state threat actors, Russia's like, you know, A-team, China's A-team are attacking Microsoft, but it's a rich environment. Federal agencies, U.S. government agencies are using Microsoft solutions for email, for backend IT infrastructure, for all the things, and it makes it a hot mess. Now, we saw China got in with the golden ticket, it's been a mess. I honestly think, again, I mentioned this before, but like SolarWinds, I suspect had some type of play in this for them getting, you know, into this deep social engineering all over the place. And now they're saying Microsoft's getting hosed and they need to reprioritize. The conflict here is that AI is nuclear hot right now. And for Microsoft to stop development and focus on security would mean that basically they'd be getting off of the train at the station in the middle of the path on the way to AI Junction. And, you know, honestly, from a technology perspective, from a shareholder perspective, from a straight cash, homie. Microsoft's not going to get on that train. They just spent $49 billion buying into OpenAI. They have Copilot on every Windows operating system. Pretty soon, there's going to be a Copilot button. This isn't a joke. This is a reality. There's going to be a Copilot button on keyboards, just like there's a Windows key on keyboards. Microsoft's pushed all their chips into the AI circle and said, you know, like, I'm all in. So they're actually really, really conflicted. I almost wonder if Microsoft's going to try to buy their way out of this by increasing labor workforce and having more security professionals working in parallel with all the new feature development with AI and stuff like that. But we'll see. Right now, it's a tough spot for Microsoft. But guys, it's straight cash, homie, and you can't stop this AI train.
Dakeson claims credit for Omni attack. Back on April 2nd, Omni Hotels confirmed a cyber attack caused a massive IT outage across its hotel network. The Dakeson team now claims credit for the attack, listing Omni on its leak site. So far, it has not published any proof of this claim, claiming it will leak stolen data soon. The group claims it obtained information on all visitors to the hotel chain since 2017. This marks a bit of a change for Dakeson. CISA warned in late 2022 that the group targets healthcare and public health sectors, typically gaining access through vulnerable VPN servers.
All right, here we go. Omni Hotel, if you work in hospitality, listen up. Thanks for the squad membership, Herdy Seams. Hey, I wanted to say hi to Les Percival. Les Percival is the one that said, are we doing news here? I just want to make sure I do try to balance the news with the entertainment aspect of it all. All right. So if you work in hospitality, listen up. Every industry is targeted by ransomware. They don't give a dang. It's all about straight cash, homie, when it comes to ransomware. But Omni Hotels hit by this group. I've never heard of Dykeson ransomware group. It doesn't mean that they're old or new. It just means I haven't heard of them. And they're going to publish customer sensitive information. What is that? What is that? I mean, let's see. So if you had access to Flare, you could probably quickly figure out what information that is. That's another benefit of the Flare platform that I've been playing with. Okay. So here's the deal. Classic story. Good morning, Ben. Good to see you. Here's the deal. This ransomware threat actor hit the Omni Hotel. Omni Hotel has done all the right things. They have backups. They've educated their staff. The IT team knows how to recover. I just skimmed the story really quickly. So ransomware gang has encrypted the data and exfilled the data. The classic double extortion technique, right? Pioneered by Scattered Spider, aka Conti ransomware gang. They're recovering, right? So they have all the stuff. So they basically told this ransomware gang to pound sand because they are going to recover manually. So now this is why they do double extortion technique. If you didn't know, double extortion is encrypting the data, possibly deleting the backups, and exfilling the data to sell later. The threat actor wants to get paid one way or the other. Since the hotel is restoring for backups, they're not going to get paid for the ransom key. So now all they have to do is threaten selling that data. Honestly, I use a service to delete my data from online stuff. But like, what's a hotel going to have? Maybe name, address, frequency of stay, driver's license, right? Like, I'm not saying that that's not nothing. But in 2024, people's data gets breached all the time. I have like 6 concurrent identity theft protections going on right now. So like, you know, I don't know how much Dykeson ransomware gang is going to get for this. We've got a 50 bomb from Eric Taylor at Barricade Cyber Solutions.
We just become best friends.
Yep. Thank you so much. I want to say hello to the new squad members. Funky Monk, Kathy Chambers is in the house. Good to see you. So many others. There's going to be 50 of you. So please enjoy. Well, there's going to be 100 of you. Jesus.
Best friends.
All right. There's 100 new gifted squad members. So enjoy that. Get up on the squad emote. And also James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. The best thing about Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief, it's education and entertainment. Essentially, it's what I like to call edutainment. Hashtag keep up the great work. Coffee cup cheers, James. Thank you.
We just become best friends.
And definitely appreciate all of you in the chat. All right. So long story short, you should be doing all the things for your business around ransomware. I say it all the time. I should probably make it a sound clip, right? One, backups. Two, tabletop exercises. Three, educate end users. Four, this particular group is getting through vulnerable VPN access points. So if you're running a vulnerable VPN like Avanti and you didn't update it, get it fixed. VPNs are internet-facing. Internet-facing assets like your Palo Alto internet-facing firewalls, if you didn't patch those either, that is an easy attack surface. You absolutely should prioritize your internet-facing assets. You should be looking at them regularly. You should make sure they're not vulnerable. If they are, pull them down. If that's a business impact, well, then you need to prioritize resources, money, or whatever to get them secure. The internet is an incredibly hostile place, and there's threat actors all over the place banging on everything on the internet. So to not have your VPN secured is just a bad look on the IT team, honestly. Think about it for a hot minute. Like, if you've ever put a honeypot on the internet, within 10 minutes, it starts getting probed and prodded and investigated and stuff. It doesn't take long. And I'm sure this VPN was just sitting there for a long time. That's what VPNs are supposed to do. They're supposed to be internet facing. Let's go.
And now a word from our sponsor, Conveyor. What are InfoSec teams measuring these days? More often than not, their impact on sales. As InfoSec teams become hands-on in the sales cycle, proving your value becomes key. A director of GRC said last week that the most direct value for their CEO was showing the efficiencies and the dollars that security has been able to bring in from enabling sales. See these trends and more in Conveyor's 2024 State of the Security Review Report at conveyor.com. Nexperia.
George Strasburger with 2 years. 22 months. Let's go. All right. Hey, what's up, Will Reed in the house? Will Reed's launching a podcast that I'm going to be an early guest on. I can't wait, Will Reed. Can't wait for that to come around. If you're here talking about bingo, we do bingo on the first Friday of every month. So look forward to that on May 5th. May 3rd. Hey, listen, thanks so much, everybody. What do we got? 443 people here. If Les is still here, Les Percival, if you're still here, and you, let me know if you're liking the show. Hit the like button if you are. Hey, Kathy Chambers, that squad badge looks good on you. Nice color. Hit the like button, guys. It helps other people discover the channel. Again, thank you to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber, Delete Me, and Anti-Siphon Training. Guys, if you didn't know, Anti-Siphon Training is absolutely disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of financial position. They offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and most importantly, engage with the community in a fun and inclusive way. Go to the link in the description, or like just go to antisiphontraining.com. It won't capture that I sent you, but I love Anti-Siphon. So just go there, check it out. They have so much free training. John Strand just released a new pay what you can training coming out soon. So check that out. As always, all right, guys. Simply Cyber Community Challenge. If you didn't know, there's an amazing opportunity here for you to blow up your professional network. Right now, Sonny O'Malley. Is Sonny in chat? Yes. Tag someone, Sonny. So Sonny O'Malley has the baton. I was not directly connected with Sonny O'Malley, and now I am building my professional network. Here's how it works. Go on LinkedIn, search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. You can see it there at the bottom in blue. And it's very easy. Connect with the people posting, comment on their post, connect with the people in comments. I'll say it again. Search for the hashtag. Connect with the people posting, comment on their posts, connect with the people in the comments. Why? Because basically, you will be in the comments and you will get picked up and start building your network. Two things will happen. One, you'll build your professional network. And two, your LinkedIn feed will just turn into like a super rich, super valuable cybersecurity content stream. So if that's what you want, if you want to find out about awesome opportunities, new tools, resources, successes, and wins, do that. And I'm telling you, we've been doing it for like 200 days. It's super awesome. Love it, love it, love it. All right. Every single day of the week has a special segment. Tidbits Tuesday is where I share a little bit about myself. All right. Guys, I guess I just wanted to share with you on Tidbits Tuesday, me personally, I'm a little compulsive. You know, this is a little behind the curtain here. I'm a little compulsive. Like when I get like into something, I just kind of like it consumes me. And right now I'm into the Vulnerability Management Analyst Masterclass. I literally made 188 slide deck yesterday for the entire Vulnerability Management Analyst Master Course. I am crushing it. It's going to come out way faster than anything else. So I hope you guys are excited about that. I certainly am. When I say compulsive though, that's why I can't do CTFs, because I just get consumed by CTFs if I start doing them. So just, you know, I don't know if anyone else identifies that way, but that's me. All right, guys. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much. Let's get back in the news and finish strong.
Korea confirms cyber attack. The Chinese-owned chip-making giant confirmed it suffered a cyber attack in March 2024. It did not release details on any data loss or suspected attackers. However, the Dunghill ransomware group previously listed Nexperia on its leak site, claiming it stole roughly 1 terabyte of data, including chip designs, customer, and employee information. The Dutch broadcaster RTL confirmed that samples of leaked data from Dunghill belong to Nexperia.
All right. So we've got another ransomware attack, but this one is different, okay? This one's different. So the last one was hotel chain. The victims are really the people who are... All right. So, hey, it looks like, thank you, Kathy Chambers and Kimberly Can Fix It. Santiago Moya wants the baton. Let's go. Sonny O'Malley, if you don't mind, if you don't have someone, please tag Santiago Moya. So this ransomware attack hits a hotel chain, and basically the victims are you and I and our personal information. Okay. They're probably not going to pay it and just whatever. This story, much different. This is a story that hit a chip maker company in the Netherlands. They exfilled a bunch of data, and now they've got access to, thanks for the squad membership, they've got access to sensitive data, trade data. Publicly traded companies need to be careful with intellectual property, with things that have yet to be released publicly. It can influence stock prices and do things like that. This is a $2.8 billion company or $2.4 billion company. Obviously, that's high value, right? I don't know what how much is the ransom they're asking for? Doesn't say what the ransom is. $2.36 billion, though. I would have to imagine the ransom is close to $1 million, if not, you know, $2 to $3 million. I'm not familiar with this particular Twitter account, but it looks nice. Dark Web Informer. I provide CTI from the Dark Web and ClearNet. I'm going to go ahead and follow this guy or lady, depending on who it is. It looks very interesting, very valuable. They're basically doing threat intel. Like I said, I have been using Flare.io platform, but it's not free, right? So if you don't have access to budget for threat intelligence, like honestly, this guy right here looks pretty decent in order to capture some of that information. this wouldn't be your only threat intelligence feed, obviously, but it is worth to note. Yeah, look at this guy, putty vulnerability out there, dark web informer talking about different breaches. This is cool. Nice job, dark web informer. All right. So anyways, this company may pay this in order to protect that intellectual property. Chips are hot right now.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Right? Semiconductor technology, chips are very hot. The Netherlands, you know, it's another interesting thing, not to get my tinfoil hat on, but I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. Okay, there's a lot going on here. Check this out. There is a massive, if you didn't know, okay, there's like this massive like geopolitical battle going on with semiconductor technology between like Western philosophy countries like the United States and BRICS country, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and a whole bunch of other countries like UAE, I think Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, a couple other countries have joined the BRICS, right? So there's like these two like kind of like superpowers, right? Or factions. And they're playing games with each other with semiconductor technology, where the United States has put like export controls and embargoes on China receiving this type of technology. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, it's very interesting that this company is a Chinese-based company in the Netherlands. Why is that interesting? Check this out. Netherlands, Japan, semiconductor controls. It was not that long ago, April 2023, when the Netherlands and Japan basically bent the knee to the United States and agreed to restrict export of chip-making equipment to China specifically, right? So I just find it interesting that a Chinese-backed company that moved to the Netherlands or is operating out of the Netherlands gets hacked, and their intellectual property, i.e. their chip-making technologies, get compromised, right? I'm not saying that this was, you know, China. This is obviously a threat actor group, but I am saying if they agree to pay the extortion so the data doesn't get transmitted, dude, threat actors have proven time and time again that they don't delete the data when they say they will. And why would they? They're criminals. Who cares? Just getting that paper, right?
Great cash, homie.
I want to see, is there a way to like, hold on, Dunghill Ransomware. So I've never heard of these groups. So what I would do is I'm literally doing Dunghill Ransomware MITRE ATT&CK. And I was trying to see if I could find something on MITRE ATT&CK. If you don't know what MITRE ATT&CK is, MITRE ATT&CK is an awesome resource. And it doesn't look like they're here. Again, I told you guys, I hadn't heard of this group before. And it looks like, according to MITRE ATT&CK, they haven't heard of them either. So that, to me, that's also very interesting that it almost sounds like a new threat actor coming on the scene, right?
Smishing somehow makes tolls worse. The FBI issued a PSA warning of a new smishing campaign that's monitored since March across three states. This campaign sends out fraudulent SMS messages asking victims to pay small outstanding toll amounts to avoid a larger fine. The message shows an actual toll agency name and phone number appropriate for a person's location, but points to a further phishing site. The FBI warned users to look up tolling authorities' legitimate information and then contact them directly if there's any question on unpaid tolls.
All right. Hey, you know what? What would be the appropriate, I almost feel like slow golf clap. Dude, I'm telling you, threat actors, okay? Threat actors, they, again, hat tip to the threat actors. This isn't Threat Actor Academy. I'm not suggesting anyone here commit crimes, but I regularly hat tip to threat actors that come out with innovative techniques to scam people. I love fraud. I love studying fraud. I love the psychology of fraud, everything. And when they do stuff like this, it's brilliant, right? Like, okay, so hey, look, you got this Geek Squad membership that you've renewed or whatever. Oh, hey, like, let's talk about your extended car warranty. Who would have thought of nickel and diamond people for tolls. Like, literally, I just saw one of the text messages that said, you have an outstanding toll of $12.51. So, like, these threat actors are picking peanuts out of elephant poop, you know, while, you know, this threat actor, Dunghill, is hitting a $2.8 billion company. Like, again, you know what? The power's in the numbers. I'm sure if they hit 100,000 people for 12 bucks, that's 1.2 million, and that makes it worth it. But, bro, that's a lot of infrastructure for like 12 bucks, 51 cents. Now, having said all that, this is an absolute obvious story for you to educate your Aunt Donna, your Uncle Gregory, your cousin Pat, your best friend Mike, Pete, and Bo. Like, tell your kids, tell your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, right? Like this right here affects anyone and everyone. Now, you might be like, I haven't driven through a toll. I work from home. I don't even leave my compound. Okay, then you know it's going to be illegit. But, you know, it's a numbers game. They're trying to hit as many people as possible. Remember, you can't stop a text message from coming in, right? You can reject or report junk once it comes in the first time, but the threat actors don't care. They will use services to spam, like, basically every phone number that they possibly can. And it's a numbers game. Like, they only need to hit like 1% of everybody and get that sweet, sweet cheddar. Okay. So F them. But, you know, hat tip. Also, it just cracks me up. This is like, this reminds me, I know this is a little bit of a departure, but this reminds me of like those scumbags who hit the cancer center up in Seattle last year. And they tried to ransom the cancer center, but they also tried to sell or ransom basically every patient, every cancer patient for 50 bucks. It's like, bro, like you're gross.
Lighty finds out CVEs matter. Back in August 2018, the open source web server project Lighty fixed an out-of-bounds read vulnerability that could allow exfiltration of sensitive data to bypass other security systems. However, the flaw never received a CVE identifier, and the project never...
Oh, Laura Flores got the toll text yesterday. Laura Flores with the bingo card on that one. That's awesome. JK Illadelph got it too. Hey, yeah, definitely, guys. If you guys are receiving it, seriously, you have to educate your friends and loved ones. Put it on Facebook or Snapchat or, you know, the gram or whatever you guys do. Just let them know.
Send out an advisory on the issue. As a result, the security firm Binarly discovered Intel and Lenovo shipped a vulnerable version of Lighty to baseboard management controllers for years. Adding to the issue, hardware that shipped with the vulnerable version has now reached end of life with no plans to patch it.
Ooh.
Stanford.
All right. Couple things here. Light. He said Lighty. Lighty. I've never heard it referred to that. I've heard it as basically Light PD. Basically, it's a very lightweight web server. When you have lightweight technology, it's typically pretty insecure, right? That's why IoT devices have notoriously been gross, because they typically don't have good security baked into it. Now, this is a this is basically used on a baseboard management controller, which I might be speaking a little out of school here, but basically on servers and data center server farms and stuff like that, you can access, it's like accessing the BIOS, accessing the baseboard. It's like how you can manage and do like integrated lights on, you know, basically like turning things on, turning things off, power saving, all that other stuff. It allows you access, okay? And because we love browser-based access and administration, and we don't want admins to have to like console into things, they provide web servers, and that's all this was. Now, what's interesting is this has been a flaw that has been in place for years and years and years, so much to the point that it goes back to August 2018. And some older technologies basically are not going to be corrected because they're too old. So basically what I would say here is, it's kind of hard. Like, I don't know if there's a way to fix this in some instances, but I would also say, I don't know how easy it is to exploit this, right? You would need access to the to the local area network, right? In order to get on this. I don't even know how you access the baseboard. Let's look really quickly. CVSS scores will typically show CVSS scores will typically indicate the level of complexity and where do you have to be to get to it and stuff like that. Can we get a CVSS score, please? I don't see a CVE for this one, unfortunately. Mods, I don't know if you have a CVE. Is this a CVE? Here we are. Pulling it up. This is how you do the research. By the way, as I mentioned before, this is a great way for security companies to market themselves. Is by having security research out there. Yeah, you can see here, like on the stream, I know it's hard to see, but you could see here, they talk about BIOS and firmware update. That's basically what the baseboard management controller thing is. It's like accessing the BIOS for a server. BSEC saying that Intel and Lenovo have opted not to address the issue as the products incorporating the susceptible version of Lighty have hit end of life, which makes sense. It's too old to worry about. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I think the exploit kill chain or whatever would be really difficult. You'd already have to have compromised assets on the LAN and then get onto this and be able to access the baseboard management controller, possibly through like rebooting the server. So one quick thing I want to share with everybody, just as an FYI, I know it's a little hard to see because of the way the stream is. Let me do this, if you can see it this way. Yeah, you can't see, but... Unfortunately, this graphic, if you go to the here, if you go to the story, you'll see it yourself. But all I want to point out is this is a real issue with software supply chain and why people are asking for SBOMs. If you've heard the acronym SBOM, it is Software Bill of Material, and there's a big push for it. Basically, here's the deal. Look at this graphic, right? At the top is Lighty, and you could see Lighty gets incorporated into AMI MegaRack software ecosystems, which is just the generic term, baseboard management controllers, and then original device manufacturers down the chain, like Intel, Lenovo, etc., use those baseboard management controller packages and then deploy them. And then enterprise customers like whatever, Fortune 500, etc., take those technologies and implement them into their stacks. So they don't even know that they have this Lighty web software in their environment. And that's the problem with supply chain. If you go far enough, every level up the supply chain you go, it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as far as visibility goes into what is there. So you can have, like, look at Log4j back at the end of December 2020. Like Log4j, we found out it was like in the Discovery helicopter on Mars and stuff like that. Like, it's just, that's the problem with software supply chain and why SBOMs are so, you know, vital.
Releases AI Index Report. This marks the 7th edition of the AI Index. The university found AI currently surpasses human performance on image classification, visual reasoning, and English comprehension, but lags in planning, common sense reasoning, and advanced mathematics. Unsurprisingly, investment in generative AI octupled since 2022 to $25.2 billion, with so-called frontier models becoming increasingly expensive to train. As an example, Google's Gemini Ultra model cost an estimated $191 million in training compute costs. It also found a lack of serious standardized evaluations for AI responsibility across the industry. The index also highlighted research showing productivity gains using AI and its use as a potential way to bridge the skills gap between workers.
All right, AI trends. I mean, This is probably a really good report. This is from Stanford University, their AI human-centered artificial intelligence center. I'm going to read this report here. You can I'll link to it in chapter. This report is, I have high confidence that this report is super legit. Key takeaways: AI beats human on some tasks, but not all. Yes, I will say that it seems like a lot of the creative thinking AI doesn't get well. It does do well on drafting stuff and, you know, et cetera. industry continues to dominate frontier AI research. Absolutely. The one problem we're getting away from is that I don't want to call it sheer hubris, but like people are trying to make better, faster, stronger AI because of straight cash, homie. And unfortunately, regulations, controls, all the things are not being put in place because, like I said earlier with Microsoft in the 90s, it's all about features. It's all about straight cash, homie. It's not about security because security isn't going to get paid. we'll have to see. I don't want to be a wet blanket and ruin everybody's Tuesday, but like I literally flip-flop between being cool and being like, you know, we're heading to human extinction. I'm sorry to be such a wet blanket, but I still haven't confirmed all my thoughts on this. But if you just look at how AI is going, it's breakneck speed, and there are conflicting nations that are fighting with each other, and AI is a massive tool, a massive weapon. So, you know, they're going to continue to develop it. The problem is, the last time we had something like this, and again, please allow me to jawjack for a second. The last time we had a problem like this or a situation like this, it was nuclear weapons, okay? Mutual destruction. The thing is, with nuclear weapons, there's only so many of them. They're very difficult to make. You can't hide them. We made like an international armistice not to use them. We have inspectors that can go into countries and look for those weapons, right? So we were able to like basically pacify that risk. With AI, you can't really check for it. Anyone can have it. It's like, you can run LLMs locally on your own system. So you can't control it. And it's just going to continue to get better, stronger, faster. It's not good. All right. So the US leads China, the EU, and UK as leading source of top AI models. There you go. AI investment skyrocks. Sure. All right. So, you know, I'd like to hope that we can use AI to like, you know, get off Earth, solve cancer, you know, solve, like make food, like so we can replenish food faster, stronger, quicker, whatever. But if, you know, human nature, it's like, you know, human nature, it's like, oh, I can use this gun to like hunt food and not get hurt by the animal. Oh, this is perfect. I'm going to be able to feed my whole village. And then it's like, oh, I could just actually use this gun to rob somebody else who's already done the work of hunting the animal. That works. All right. So that's AI. I definitely would recommend you check it out. I plan on reading this. Honestly, here's what I'm going to do. I have to fly to Las Vegas on Sunday. I'm going to download the full report, read it on the plane, maybe make some content around my thoughts of it. Again, this is a cybersecurity thing. I love cybersecurity, not so much like an AI thing. So,
Windows learns new tricks. It's been a good couple of days for old things to get Windows updates. First up, Microsoft rescinded a compatibility block on Windows 11 upgrades, impacting some Intel 11th Gen Core CPUs with Intel Smart Sound technology drivers. These systems saw blue screens of death when upgrading to Windows 11 21H2. Microsoft resolved the driver issue and lifted the upgrade block over the weekend. In other news, YouTuber Matt KC documented his process of backporting .NET 2.0 to Windows 95. The code for the backport is available on GitHub with a simple .exe to install. Matt KC plans to eventually bring .NET 3.5 support to the venerable OS.
All right.
Remember.
So a couple things. One, there was an issue upgrading to Windows 11 where blue screen and death. That's been addressed. So awesome. Get after it. I don't know why that Matt KC guy is porting backwards to Windows 95. If you are running Windows 95 in your environment, for the love of God, please upgrade. Like you've had years to make the case. Windows 95 end of life. Windows 95 went end of life December 31st, 2001. The cadets at the Citadel where I teach were not born yet. Please. Now, I mean, Windows 95 gave us the iconic background, right? Who hasn't seen this background, right? I mean, this is Windows 95's contribution to the world. So all you olds, I know that feels really, really refreshing seeing that. Also, Flying Toasters screensaver. You know, Flying Toaster screensaver. There we go. Going back in the Wayback Machine. Amazing. Like, thank you so very much for all your contributions to Windows 95, but your time is over. Please don't backport anything to Windows 95 unless you absolutely have to. Sometimes it can happen, but not today. All right. Oh, is that right, Phil Stafford? Is that a real place? All right. So, hey, anyways, if you need to upgrade to Windows 11, get on it. But Windows 10 is still supported, right? So you could be running Windows 95 in like some weird type of OT environment. There have been examples in my past where I've seen custom Microsoft Access database applications that were custom built that don't run on newer systems, and they are absolutely fraught with security risks. And they're like, you have compensating controls like Raspberry Pi firewalls in line on the network on it and stuff like that. But just, you know, let's go.
We're launching season 2 of Capture the CISO tomorrow.
All righty, guys. If you were here just for the news before you go, I want to let everybody know that this Thursday, we on Simply Cyber Live, we got another fireside chat with Chief Technology Officer and Vice President at Cisco Security, Craig Connors. This guy has 19 patents to his name. 19 patents. When I saw that, I was like, Jesus, dude. Holy mackerel. This guy's smart. So come join. It's going to be like Cisco, obviously, top talent. We're going to be talking about basically the modern cybersecurity threat landscape. So if you're an aspiring practitioner and you want to know about the current modern threat landscape, like why do we have, you know, supply chain issues? Why do we have, you know, continuous threat exposure management over, you know, more traditional things? Like that's what we're going to be talking about. This is definitely applicable to people looking to break in. But I would argue if you've been in the industry for a while, this could be a nice refresher on current state of threat landscape instead of just keeping on doing what you've been doing. All right, guys, I appreciate all of you. Thank you. For those who are here for the first time, Les Percival asking if it's a good show. Let me know. Education, entertaining. Guys, I know I've got the sponsor reads. Please grant me grace. This is how I feed my kids. So please grant me that grace. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. No jawjacking today. Tomorrow, editorial note, tomorrow I will be in the mobile studio, and tomorrow will be a really quick episode. So tomorrow is going to be like, listen, really quick. Tomorrow is going to be like a 30-minute show. I have to give a keynote presentation at 9:15 a.m., and our show is at 8 a.m. Eastern, so I'm thinking 8 to 8:30. I just plow through the show as quickly as possible, give you guys some value, obviously. I'm not just going to like do the show and not give you value. But like 8:30, I got to stop because then I got to run downstairs. I'm staying at the hotel where the conference is, so I think it should be pretty good. But I don't want to be that yard sale that shows up with like my shirt half untucked, button wrong, like elbow patch nerd holding like a briefcase, busting into the room while they're announcing me. I don't want to be that jabroni. I want to be in the back sipping coffee, looking like a cool dude, you know, waiting, and then, you know, running up, high-fiving people, and then giving a great talk. So tomorrow, 30-minute show. We will get back to regular jawjacking pretty soon. Also, reminder, next week is I'm in Vegas all week, but I will be doing the show live from Las Vegas in the remote studio, getting up at 5 a.m. with my West Coast, Left Coast, Cali people, Oregon people, Nick Barker, Casey Gaska, Boston Rob. So I'll be, we'll do it. Okay. All righty. Let's go. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, be well. I'm going to go teach the cadets. Oh, actually, really fun thing. If you're still here, do you know what I'm doing with the cadets today? Teaching them how to pick locks and break out of handcuffs. Coolest professor ever. All right, let's do some physical security stuff today, people. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Thanks so much to the stream sponsors. Till next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one. We'll